Is that what's happening? Are we doing some X's? I kind of want to know what you're looking at.
Oh, they're really cool. They are really cool. I just figured, given what we're going to talk about today, I just wanted to be in virtual reality for it.
You want to be in spatial computing, yeah.
Well, I can still see stuff, my keyboard and stuff around here. They're just sunglasses, but I've got a giant 120-inch screen here. On the plane on the way here today, I watched massive, massive movies on the plane just because that's one of the big use cases, right?
It's the main ad that I see of something that we're going to talk about. I love it. You've just preempted. You've gone, here are some $400 glasses that over usurp.
These old things? Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Hey, mate. Great to see you. Great to see you.
How are you doing, pal? You've
flown out to Atlanta specifically to meet with
one of our friends
of the podcast. Yeah.
One of the obsessive types. Yeah, groupies. One of our groupies. Yeah.
Specifically flown to Hotlanta to meet with a groupie. 24-hour turnaround.
Who I actually invited on the podcast as well. So this groupie will be on said podcast in the future. Yeah. It got awkward. He put it out there a few times that he kind of floated it like that Rami. I thought, you know, Rami would have. I was like, yeah, we've had all of Rami's friends on. You know, I don't understand. Yeah. And then in the end, I was like, did you want to come on? He's like, yeah. So I guess he's my mate now.
You own him. You've got full rights, mate.
I mean, it's like a puppy. Will he be my guest, won't he?
Yeah.
He'll be one of those ones where I'm having one of my guests on. And then
full responsibility handover, mate. It's liability is all yours. Yeah. Okay. You have to do the prep, that means, into seaweed. All things seaweed.
I know everything about it. We did eat. We met with a guy, James Dillard, made a Rami's, worked at Stripe with Rami, previously worked at YouTube in the studio, worked in the creator sector, previously Bain. He's had lots of different things. Super interesting guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he's a bad judge of character. He did have a lot of nice things to say about you. Which is like, you know, that's my litmus test.
That's your litmus test? Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, on the outside, people who don't have really high EQs always think Rami's a nice guy, you know, that kind of thing. And then
once you dig in.
I threw a few things out there to see where he'd go for it, but he didn't jump on, you know.
Nothing.
You know, yeah.
I paid him well. I paid him off. That's what happened.
I did tell him the only thing that I know you're actually bad at, and that's camping. That's the only thing so far I've discovered that I'm a lot better than you at.
Which does not take much.
Of all the things. I mean, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it at this stage.
It's yours.
You know?
It's yours. Yeah. It's yours. No, I'm not amazing. I enjoy it, or I'm forced to enjoy it by my partner. But, this was all... I enjoy outdoors.
You enjoy the outdoors.
It's the equipment. It's the equipment that I don't enjoy with camping.
Yeah.
Getting in and out and schlepping it, purchasing it even, which are things you excel at. Moving shit around.
And storing stuff.
Yeah. Buying gear and having a truck for it. Which it suits you perfectly.
You can't keep pigeonholing me like that. This is the year of frugality. You're like saying... You know when someone is recovering from something and you love just
offering
getting
you a drink.
There. Oh, there you go. Do you remember you used to love drinking, didn't you? You used to love drinking, don't you?
Where did those glasses come from? Just curious where those glasses
were. And they sent them to me to review them on my YouTube channel.
Gotcha,
Yeah.
So you do like stuff. You found it. Mate, I feel like we almost had an emergency session on Sunday night because we had a big weekend. We had a big weekend.
What a weekend.
We reviewed independently, test drove, literally, the hottest products of 2024. The Vision Pro, I checked out on Friday, and the Cybertruck. You got a finger out of the Cybertruck. You beat me to it. I did.
I had to do that. So here's what happened. Friday, I was in the Apple store anyway, picking up a laptop.
Yeah.
And me and Rami, unprepared, I'm pinging him a picture that I'm in the Apple store. He's pinging me back. He's in the Apple store as well.
Yeah, that's just what we do on Friday afternoons. It's unprepared, but it's also just.
It was launch day for the Vision Pro. It was a thing. Mine was actually an accident that I ordered a refurbished laptop and it came in on Friday and I went in to pick it up.
Was it an accident that you accidentally ordered the laptop? Because that's what you do. that's how you buy stuff now.
The delivery date. I would have got it shipped to the door if I'd. It was a happy coincidence that it just happened to be like it was. I was like, oh, sweet. I'm going to see the craziness. And anyway, there was no, but they had walk-ins. They were like, oh, yeah, we've got walk-in appointments. Next one was at like 6:30, which was exactly 6 hours later than when I was there because I was picking it up just after lunch. And I was like, oh, do I come back in 6 hours to try this thing out? Anyway, in the meantime, we're pinging back and forth. You and me are being super, like, looking at the demographic of the type of people, picking them up, and like, what's different about these? What are people, what are we overhearing? What are people saying? Next thing, I get a photo of Rami wearing the Vision Pro, and I'm like, oh man, here we go. He's got the demo. So
I'm in the demo.
That's why you went and bought a Cybertruck.
That's the only reason I went and reviewed a Cybertruck
then and fanged around it for a few hours with it, because I was like, what else is left? I got to beat him to something. So yeah, I did the Cybertruck review.
Well, that worked out really well. And I explicitly have, like, I blocked your phone from your number from my phone. So I didn't talk about it. I didn't give away impressions. I wanted it to look clean.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the internet's done a pretty good job, but like, let's pretend like it's completely clean.
Let's imagine I haven't watched 15 hours of it. What is, tell me.
My take on the Vision Pro, the amount of threads killing me.
Sometimes I have to slow you down. I'm like, tell me what the Vision Pro, but I feel like everybody knows what the Vision Pro is, right? Like, as in, do we need to go through it? Do we need to give the intro?
We had,
like,
people pinging saying, where's your review? Give me your review ASAP. I'll donate for money to, I mean, James was an example, or put into the Patreon account in order for you guys to buy one so you can review it.
Yeah, we needed another $6,900 and we would have been there. There was two headsets. Yeah, so we thought about it. We're still,
So close.
Tell me about it, Rami. So, okay. So you get the Vision Pro.
Do I get to go first? Is that what this is? Okay, so the Vision Pro.
Tell me all. Here's what I want. You can tell me the smart Rami stuff, but you feel it in your hand. You put it on your head. Tell me about it.
So, first of all, Apple do a thing, don't they? They do a number on you.
Yeah.
They're just great.
Reality distortion.
The details to the so you go in there, you go, I would like a demo. They go, great, we'll put you in line. Everyone who works at the store now knows you're in line, and whoever you talk to, they go, Rami, I've got you number three. Yep, Rami, you're going to be the first walk in after that. They've got you covered.
Did you explain the importance of getting it done before me, though? Did they know the urgency? That this is actually. Rami, you're the guy before Marcus. Yeah, okay, got it.
I didn't. This is really, really important. It's just, and you're there, and you're seeing other people demoing it. And I'm walking past and I'm seeing smiles on their faces. I'm overhearing what they're oohing and ahhing at. Like the first ad that we saw drop, where it was the lady next to the guy. And I'm just getting more and more excited. And the way they demo them in this beautiful, it comes out on this gorgeous little bamboo platter, this little rich mahogany platter. So it's like a symbol. It's like an idol that comes delivered on hand from the back, and the systems they've got in place. Once they call out my name, the first thing you have to do, of course, is get your glasses measured. So they've
those
got
ice lenses,
as part of their supply chain, they've got those little machines sitting there in the shop, beautiful, gorgeous machines that do your prescription measurement. I had my Sunny prescriptions on. And then they turn around and they go, let's go back to the front. Here's your unit. And then little guy comes over with your ideal lenses installed in there to get them going. So it's already created.
And there's different size headsets, right? There's like small, medium, large, two headsets, right? There's all more than just the lenses, right? There's like different strap sizes, different
reduction glare and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And then they've got this individual 20-minute demo with a script where this guy is, he can see what you're seeing, and, you know, guy or gal, and they're talking through a dedicated script. And mine was lovely, Bradley. Shout out to Bradley from Casa. His dad runs a construction agency. Casa
of
Bonita.
Of course you know everything
from
about
East Palo Alto. Bradley, fantastic. He's studying in Santa Clara. He's great. I think we're going to get a reno done by his dad, just as an aside. and he took me to the boardroom out back where, like, the execs normally meet because the thing wasn't working or whatever. And then, you know, he was giving me his personal chat, and he goes, just know that when I go into script mode, I'm going to be like script, but then I'll give you my, and then the script.
Got to click in.
Yeah. So it's a guardrail thing. But the first moment, so he comes out and you look at it and you're like, okay, it's right in front of me. And then he goes, let me show you how to grab it. What you want to do is put your thumb in the nose joint, and then you want to flip this way, then turn it around, and then put it in there. And now your turn. And that first grab is like the giddiest. They've just built it up, and you grab and you go, this feels primo. It's a glass. Yeah. It's like a futuristic rock. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
But the moment, like, after a little bit of on-ramp, and, like, we can talk about their Excel, the first moment is when you see that home screen. You see the hello go, you see the shop around you, and then the home screen comes in, and it's the crispest, gorgeous little animates in, and you are...
with the little apps,
You're there. The apps are there.
Yeah.
And it's just... it just escalates. It's ridiculous upon ridiculous upon ridiculous of, what did I just see? How did I... Every bit of it.
How close to real does it feel? Like, pass through? So it uses cameras. Okay, there's like 14 cameras. Let's talk about that. Yeah. It's okay, like, it's yes. Yeah. It's not, it's, yeah, it's, so it's assuming, it is VR. It's not AR. Yeah.
Assuming you haven't. Yeah. So, well, this is the discussion on what it is. So it's, you know, mixed reality. So it is, it does not have a transparent lens going out. So it's definitely a headset that you're looking at the most high resolution screens ever, very close to your eyes. And it's recreating what's outside with called pass through and with through cameras and bringing them back in, kind of kind of adjusting for distortion, transforming them and bringing them back into your eyes, and then layering on whatever it is, the apps, the screens, the 3D objects, whatever it is it wants to do, as opposed to like a full transparent glasses you've got on and then projecting on top of them. And that has a lot of advantages, has some disadvantages. And so they do all this stuff like recreate eyesight on the outside, which we can debate about. But their setup gives them so much flexibility and stuff to do. I will say, like, top of the line, the pass-through wasn't as good as I expected. The expectation around pass-through was so high. Everyone was like, this is the best. It's clearly the best pass-through I've seen. I've seen the 2 and the Quest 3 now.
Yeah.
And it's clearly the best pass-through I've seen. But it wasn't, uber reality. It's a bit blurry. It's a little bit fuzz. A bit, not quite pixelated. But I think a lot of that's deliberate. But I think the whole thing became a question of expectations. Who said what?
Yeah.
What were my expectations going in versus not? So pass-through wasn't as clear as I thought it would be. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because after 5 minutes, you think of it as reality anyway. And people have since then, they'll say within a day, it's absolutely reality, right? The weight of it was lighter than I expected. Everyone was talking about so much about the weight and it's a disaster. Yeah. And what? Did not notice it at all, and maybe it's because I've got a thick neck,
right?
Because I tossed some weights, or just maybe because my expectations were so much higher that it was going to be much, much heavier, and so that was much better. I came in expecting, like, I already knew how the interaction works, the eye tracking in the hands, and even that exceeded expectations, how well the eye tracking works. You, wherever your eyes look and the subtle movements and things, instantly you pick up how that works. I was a bit too cavalier with the pinching. I was like, it's just going to work no matter what I do. And sometimes you wouldn't pick up my pinching.
Well, it's supposed to be down low, right? Down in your lap or anything. Yeah, it's supposed to pick up.
But you've got to be a little bit clear. You can't just like be too fuzzy about it. So you got to be a little bit precise. Uh-huh. So there were all these things that were kind of readjusted, things I thought were better, et cetera. But no matter what, you don't quite appreciate like the crispness and what this means until you're in there. No 2D service kind of supports it. No previous experience. You just don't appreciate how crisp that screen is. The way it anchors to the location. So you put a screen there in front of you, X centimeters in front of you. No matter what you do, how you move, where you move, it stays exactly there to the point where you no longer think it's augmented. It's so well anchored. The anchoring and tracking is ridiculous.
And then there's some great videos, just to give people, like, so for context. So there was a great video that was being shared around of someone who set up their home office. They connected to a Mac. So one of the great things it does is if you have a Mac, it pairs it beautifully. And if you're connecting to your MacBook, it will render the screen for you in your VR headset or in your spatial computer, as they call it. It'll turn the screen off on the Mac. And it's not just mirroring the Mac screen. It's actually an entirely fresh rendering of it at a slightly different resolution. So you can do massive ones. But what people are doing is they're in their house. They're mapping their whole house. So the video I watched was he had Gordon Ramsay over the cooker, showing him how to cook something. He had a notes app open on the fridge with all the shopping list. Over by his wall where he had record vinyl if I open or a music app on the wall.
And so you've got pinned on the wall so as though you've turned it into like a home automation over here.
That section over there is my music area, part, and then he's got a giant TV, like where his TV is, but it's even bigger. So he's basically mapped out his house that was the first time that it kind of gave me the
spatial computing
moment around spatial computing as opposed to just being VR, that when you're pinning stuff around, your home is better, you know?
Sized is the story. And everywhere. I think this is also a really good example of expectation setting by Apple. Like, you want to talk about the layer of genius. The demo and the ads have been so strict and so streamlined that they're focusing on just get to know it and start in the core. So it's the demo is strictly seated. It's strictly like first start with the home. First thing you do is open photos. So it takes you through photos and shows you the possibilities. Spatial photos are insane and amazing.
You want spatial videos? That I'm keen on.
Spatial photo through that's captured through the Vision Pro is substantially better than that captured through iPhone. So right. there's a real delta.
Because the cameras are the same distance apart on the Vision Pro versus their tiny little distance between
the distance is not there, and there's more of them. That's okay. going to be a thing. I wasn't expecting that, but the videos are phenomenal. Yeah. And then the immersive videos when Alicia Keys in this demo. So first they start with show you the photos, and you're like, okay, I'm getting pinch and zoom. Flat photos, panoramas, and then you go into the depth stuff, and you're going, this is so... The crispness of it makes it a step change above anything you've seen before. Any VR you've seen before, any 3D TV you've seen, anything like that. Then they go, okay, great. Open up this app, this Yumly app or whatever it is, and it's basically... the iPad. It's the iPad app. So, know that every single iPad app that exists out there can now just be rendered as a flat thing. Experience isn't great because you don't see some of the subtleties. It's not as native as it should be, but it's there. And then they go, cool. So, we've done photos. We've done a regular app. Why don't you put that here, put that there, keeping you seated. Please don't walk around. We don't want you to walk around. And now let's have a look at some entertainment. Let's do some content. And this is where it starts. So, if you go into cinema mode and then play around with how big the cinema screen is. And then they go into, let's do some immersive content. And you see Alicia Keys pop out at you. And then you just, it layers on the 3D experiences and the way it's like nothing you've seen before. It's clearly a step change. And you don't feel it until you're in there. Remember 10 years ago, we had 3D TVs. And we had that thing where everyone was like, maybe it's going to happen. This is what it was meant to be like. And it is a genuine revelation. Like it's a whole thing. I mean, there was a point where in the 3D video, the spatial video, someone was blowing a candle towards you. Like you're on this side and the kiddo's blowing a birthday candle. And I viscerally engaged with it and kind of blew it back. It was so nice. In your face. It was right there. It was so, so amazing. Anyway, going back to the expectation setting. So we've since seen like what it could mean. Both people going stupid and going portable and, on the subway with it, but also people moving around the house with it by setting up all these screens. And Apple was so good at not pitching that. They just pitched like entertainment, one place, stationary, etc., without even going to look at how many screens you can have around the house. And and I think that's so clever. You're letting people discover it, explore, see what's possible, and now they're going to start responding and kind of already with a 0.1 update, they're making things better, for certain use cases.
Yeah, so the FaceTime calling got a lot better because it looks like you're a melted wax head when you're on a call. If you were doing this on it, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can be improved, but I think it will be improved. That we even said, so that even the persistent, the fact that between sessions it doesn't persist, like you set up your perfect house, you put all the apps where you want, as long as you keep the app, if you don't reset the headset, like turn it off, power it off and power back on, things like that, that they're going to need to be able to, it needs to have memory, it needs to remember where you pin things, all that, but all manageable. But super the big manageable. Question mark is, I've got two questions, or two conversations we could have. One is, I feel like there's an intersection here, where I worry that the idiots who are walking around doing this stuff in the streets and everyone's going to hate them, like the glass hole effect, the rate at which that makes people hate them versus the rate at which people see that they're absolutely valuable and that it's not really about those jerks. Where's the intersection? What's going to win out there? And then my second conversation we want to have is, what does it mean for every other industry? Like what I didn't think about spatial computing was, like, I think we've talked about OVR and we talked about, I think I was, I was aware of, I wasn't aware that this has the potential to mean there's no more TVs in your house. There's no more music players. In fact, this might be the only computing device that you have, that it's like.
This is my total, I want to start with that one. I think the first one.
Sure.
So my revelations were exactly that. One was, first of all, they're trying to disrupt themselves. And you started seeing that in the ad for the airplane ad, and they're doing this beautiful drip feed of ads, like really polished ads of single use cases, where you're on the airplane and they're going over the seats. The person in front is on the iPhone. It's a tiny little dinky thing. And then you open it up and you've got your 120-inch screen. The idea that they're attacking their own iPhone for that use case is just awesome. Yeah. So number one, they could potentially replace iPhone for use cases, iPads, potentially Macs, depending on who we're talking about here.
Not even replace. I don't even think that it's to replace it. It's clear tiering. It's like showing first class to people in economy. That's what it is. People still have iPhones, but because you can't get this thing.
I think that's also true. But I think there's I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But they're not afraid. Yeah, they're not afraid to suggest it, there's a use case here where you replace buying an additional screen with this thing because you can have 10 of them.
Yeah,
I think you're spot on. TVs, I think they're going for Samsung where it can really hurt.
Wow.
If this works, like Samsung's business is TVs. LG, like Samsung is TVs. And this could well be a total attack of the jugular.
Yeah. Right?
This is all of CES.
Presumably Samsung make the screens within their VR headset, though. It would just be a change in their business model. But like TVs. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. But like the TV, I think they
the
do. TV
all the
industry.
Apple screens are all Samsung and their phones and stuff. I would imagine it's Samsung. But yeah, they are. It could. In the way that the phone is your primary device, this whatever it evolves into could be your primary device. And that, you know,
and even if it's like you still have one screen in your bedroom in the home, but then instead of having a second screen in the bedroom or a third screen in the kitchen or whatever it is, you just replace the secondary screens before you go major. I think it can do that sort of effect for you, right?
Yeah. But I can already see myself having no screens, like, you know, my basement where I've got everything set up and I've got that beautiful giant TV. I've got my dual monitor set up. Like, that is, it's already out of date now. It's like that. I mean, realistically, like, the amount of money I spent on that screen for my basement plus those two monitors is more than the cost of this VR headset. If you were looking at that, it just kind of doesn't make sense to invest in those, particularly for that type of space.
Really nailed the space. So I really take offense to people who go, Apple just rebranded XR as spatial computing. No, they haven't just rebranded. What they've done is they've done the focused on a use case and explained what it is. It's you computing in space, mixed reality of some description. It's not the it's the solution versus the platform that it's not what it is. It's what it fixes, what it does for you. And I think that's what you do when you're trying to explain to a mass audience what this thing is. It will expand over time, but as a wedge, they've really nailed the story here. Both the price point, maybe the price point and so on. But just to finish off on the industries, I think the third one that I didn't appreciate. Optics, the supply chain, the working with Zeiss to sort out the ophthalmological industry, the whole optometry industry, which has its issues and has people who've been trying to disrupt it for a while. They are now have the most dominant supply chain in creating lenses and creating these things, single supply chain, and they've got this feedback. They've got a machine on your face that can presumably...
Yeah, retina tracking and like optic health, eye health, like as in
it's,
all that.
It's going to be doing constant scanning, and it should tell you what the prescription is preemptively. Like you're going to have the greatest eye health device that's distributed everywhere.
You can do your blood glucose levels. All that stuff can be done from your eye, 100%.
Insane. Yeah. It just like overnight, in the same way the watch was doing things for heart, you're now going to have this incredible kind of vision into the fact it does automatic centering, it does so much stuff in the setup automatically, and we don't talk about it enough. Like, there's no room setup, there's no boundary, there's no manual change of distance. It's just take care of or do the Apple thing and get rid of all of that BS so your mum can use it
to some degree
and just turn it on.
You were saying to me that some people's reactions were going from like zero VR experience ever into the Apple Vision Pro, which is kind of unfair to them because it's like their minds are not even prepped for it. But I do think having been on the journey and doing some of it, like setting the boundaries in a room and then putting your hand on the floor to set where the floor is and all that stuff, like I feel like that makes it even more, for me, it makes it more magical, knowing a little bit of how
what
the sausage was made. Yeah, what they've overcome to be able to make this thing just so seamless, you know?
Genuinely.
Incredible.
There was a point where I spent like 2 minutes just moving one of the windows back and forth on top of the table in front of me. So I had the app window, and I was just moving it up and down and back and forth and watching the shadow that it was casting on the Apple Store table.
It
was the perfect
shadow. Genius!
I was giggling like a kid. I was genuinely giggling like a kid, kind of doing this thing. Yeah. That was one moment when blowing the candle and I blew it back, I was giggling and I could hear staff now seeing me. And the other one, I couldn't help but giggle. Alicia Keys was definitely a thing, but then this rhinoceros comes at me through one of them.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
Genuinely.
I saw the Tyrannosaurus, or there's like some dinosaur one.
There's a T-Rex
one
everyone loves, but in the demo they do, and it comes right up, and I just haven't had that feeling since the first time I tried VR, and it's a step change from there. Right, like it's a step change. It's not incremental. It's not more of the same. It's not cleaning up usability. It's a step change in fidelity. You know.
Yeah, I did watch. I think I sent it to you. I did watch a mock-up. There's lots of demos, lots of like fake demos or fake mock-ups, like gamification of vacuuming the house, or you know, there's lots of balls around the house if you're vacuuming, or you can gamify things, which is interesting. But one of the ones I saw was a deep fake, which was someone's got the headset on and it's your boyfriend and he turns around to talk to you and you can just swipe through different avatars and change them from Leonardo DiCaprio to whoever you're, and it changes in real time for his face, which is an interesting demo, but honestly, if you wanted to put those two things together today, you could. I mean, real-time deepfakes are real. And
not far off at all.
Yeah,
not
so far you could off just at all. Live with Leonardo DiCaprio. You know?
There's also the idea of the pass-through is also really interesting because you can now augment the actual reality, not just lay things on top of it, but you know, subtly or massively. So the whole thing is that your entire world is recreated. But there was a demo just recently where they start as though you're on psychedelics and they start just taking your actual outside and then progressively giving it the psychedelic treatment. So it's not layering, it's actually giving you the sense that your reality is changing. And I think that's much more profound than putting some screens in front of in front of your real world. Like it is the way you're doing pass-through here actually has a lot deeper implications than just layering on top.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. I think there's a lot of room in the meantime, though. When I think about, so Apple has clearly nailed it, and the difference between a $500 Facebook unit versus the $3,500 Apple unit. I know we're fanboys, but I can see it. I get it. It makes sense. It's the difference between Wii characters and VR versus, you know, as close as you can get to AR. What we thought would be glasses. You know, pass through is good enough that you're getting that experience that, you know, within your home. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say it's even not just the hardware, it's the ecosystem. You're paying for the whole ecosystem to be able to do those things, to have the wireless keyboard, to have the mouse, to have your Mac project, to have all the apps that come to bear, all your productivity stuff, you're transitioning to actually just make it useful on day one. As opposed to like with Quest, you have to have a controller, you're doing the boundaries, and then you're downloading this program to do that program and cast this. It's not set up to be that thing. Yeah.
But one of the things I was going to say is I think there's a lot of room for other stuff too. And I'm not just because I'm wearing these.
Because you're wearing them.
Glasses. Yeah, but even this, I'm doing this podcast with you now. It's the equivalent of, I have a 120-inch screen in my house at home that we use a projector on. And it really feels like that. And this is, I'm in a hotel room. So I would be on a tiny computer screen here, but you're massive. It actually feels fully immersive for me here, even though it does one thing, it projects a screen. Yeah. And I think there's room for that. Like, these are tiny. They fit on your face. They just look kind of like sunglasses. They look like weird sunglasses, but like you'd be like, they sit a little far off your face for sunglasses. Yeah, yeah. But you know, they could pass for sunglasses. But on the plane today, because they just fold up into the size of sunglasses, there's no additional dongles or, you know, it made the flight here so much better. I was sitting here on it crammed. I was in economy. I was on a plane for 5 hours and I put on a movie, and between my Apple AirPods Pro, which gave me my spatial audio, and these on, immersive. So anyway, I think there's lots of room for stuff like this in between as well. It doesn't have to be the $3,500.
Which is amazing. It's kind of happening at the exact same time.
Yeah.
Exact same time, right? It's all coming to bear at the same time. They've all introduced themselves as Apple's producing the collateral to show here the use flag. Cases. Yep. Yep.
Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. But anyway, the pinning things in spatial audio, space is the win. In for the win.
We started seeing what it could really be. And then everyone taking it mobile. I mean, okay, so to your other point, I think there's been two classes of things. One is that people actually taking it mobile and reporting on it, your Casey Neistat's and some of the others, to show what it could mean and, you know, societal implications and so on, and where it does work and doesn't work, right? Like what's possible.
Can we agree it's rude when people go into a restaurant and keep it on their head and ask and order stuff go into a cafe and order coffee instead? That's rude.
I don't think it will be for a long time. I think right now it is because it's performative. So I think most of the videos you see, like the very first video you saw within an hour of this thing, and in fact, the Apple staff were saying, you know, one of the first people just put it on their head and walked out the store. I think the first videos we saw of the guy doing this while walking, we know is fake. We know it's performative. Yeah.
That's not even, that doesn't do anything.
It's not the motion. none of the stuff. There's no pinning to you. There's no pinning at all to you. Everything would have just kept on going past him as you're walking.
Pin it and then just walk
through it. So like all of those things were like deliberately designed to get clicks and to get virally. And anytime you have a system like this, you're just going to get people racing to do the more and more ridiculous things and to get those clickbaits and to get the virality. So there's like a class of complete, just let's get the clicks from the outside. And then there's those who were trying to see what's possible with a fundamentally portable system. It's portable. Yeah. There's no reason you can't go and sit in Times Square and have screens around you while you're waiting. It's not on the move, but it is portable. So you can go and do stuff. Doesn't quite work on the subway, does work in a car, clearly works in a plane. So I think Apple brand and what it does is going to far in a way exceed any of the downside of the glass holy kind of story. And I think generationally we've moved beyond it. I think the kids don't care. I think the adults will ignore it. I think it's going to be fine.
You think it's going to be fine for people who wear ski masks around all the time? Like, I mean, Apple clearly tried to make it more of it, make it more okay to wear it by putting by going to the effort of putting a screen on the outside to show your eyes. Like, they tried to do pass through both ways. I think they might have failed on that. Like,
we could talk about. I still haven't seen eyesight work in real, and given my experience with it generally in real, until we see it, I'm not going to pass judgment. The general message has been it's not quite working as it should be, but some have said it can work really well. The trade-off on weight, etc., is a whole other discussion. I think they've done really well. Apple's been very clear on this is stationary. So they haven't like tethered it to a wall socket, but all their thing is about spatial computing and not meant to be walking around with it as augmented glasses. It doesn't stop people from doing it. And they kind of left that open to the ecosystem to just go for it. I don't know whether they should have done more, whether they should have done like turn it off while walking or like do some explicit things to avoid people trying to do it on the move and create that kind of the issue they're having.
And the videos of people doing it in Teslas, one person was in a Cybertruck with one on doing it. Like it's like, but like they're not doing it in the Cyber because there's nothing to, maybe they can pin it to the dash, but like it's not really, they're just doing it to be jerks, right? I mean, they're going to kill someone.
The vast majority of the case. Yeah, there's one in a plane. Someone's flying down on a plane. They're just doing it for the grabs,
for clicks.
But I don't think that it's such a mass movement.
Why should they have done more? Because of health and safety, or because managing expectations and making sure there's no glass holes? Like, what do you think?
Both. I think the risk they're running is they get the same glass hole thing, and as soon as someone has a serious accident, you're going to get backlash. But at the same time, I think we're well past it. I think.
Who do you think is good? Do you think we'll hear the first person killed as a result of it? Like, I mean, that, like in the same way that Tesla with cars
Someone seriously hurt wearing this thing, I think will be a headline. I think it's a super grabby headline. Can you pin it to it being its thing? I doubt it.
Hurt and someone else wearing this thing, I think, is the problem. Yeah.
But that's just a stats game. Like, they've already sold 250,000 of them. They've made $1 billion worth of revenue in the space of a week. A week ago we were talking about 80,000. They're already up to 250,000. Statistically, someone's going to get hurt from one of those people wearing it somewhere. It's just going to happen. I think the Apple brand has such pull that this is not going to. It's not going to touch them. It's not going. Very drastic has to happen, right? They're going to have to do research on people becoming blind or radio waves affecting frontal lobes or something for it to be damaging. But I think anything beyond that is we're well past that as a society.
I read that they're not going to update the Pro until 2027. This is a 3-year device, and they've come out first with the Vision Pro, which is the classic. Do the top tier first, like throw all the resources at it, and then try and build something cheaper after. That's the classic business school, the Tesla model of
the
doing
trickle
the,
down.
Do you think this is going to be a frequent hardware refresh thing? Are they going to come out with the Vision Air, I guess, would be the lower tier? Is there going to be a Vision Air soon? Or you think it's going to be that we've got this device for a few years now and it's just getting in on the ground floor?
It's a good question. I think they're waiting to see what the popularity looks like, what takes off in the sort of developer ecosystem. If you start seeing some real uptake that way, and then they can bring it down. I don't think it hurts them to stay like this for a fair bit longer. I think they'll get people with money, older folks, you'll get businesses, companies, entrepreneurs, startups.
If they're willing to cannibalize some of their sales, it's going to have to. I mean, my argument is I'm not sure an Air is coming out. Like, I know they've come out with the Pro, but maybe there's an Ultra. But like, why would they risk iPhone sales and et cetera, unless it was an expensive product?
Yeah, I think you do
for
that.
For the people who are saying, like, I'm waiting for $1,500 one, I'm like, I'm not sure there is one,
I don't see why you would on the traction they're getting right now. I think you wait for it to get fait accompli, and then you make the hard switch.
Yeah.
I don't think you're looking for more. Depending on how the ecosystem goes, unless you start seeing the ecosystem say there's not enough of an install base and incentives aren't there and we need the numbers. But it's a good question. And just
I wonder how strategically important it is to Apple, this thing. Like, how much of it is just to destroy Mark Zuckerberg's business entirely? And how much of it is a strategic importance? You know what I mean? Like, I think
it's a fundamental... I walked out of there with kind of several thoughts. One is, you know, no matter how much you think highly of Apple and the execution, and we've gushed about it before, you never appreciate just how incredible they're operationalizing, and they go all in. A company goes all in, they go all in. We're going to do this, and we're going to do it or not. Two, there's no way this is not the future. There's no future where this is not the thing. And so as long as that's the case, like this is very strategically important to them, as was previous, as was Microsoft, you know, the classic, they just keep inventing the space then giving up. They had the spatial computing thing, they had HoloLens, they just gave up too early. And they had Windows Phone, they gave up too early and succeeded ground to Android. You don't want to lose the next platform. And I think this is well and truly kind of establishing as if there is another platform to be had, this is it. So I think by will and by... And the third thought I had was, this stuff doesn't necessarily happen without humans wanting it to happen. It's not necessarily... It's the Musk thing. It doesn't necessarily happen unless someone deliberately does it.
You have to put energy into it. Yeah.
You have to explicitly say, we're going to do this. We're going to do it now. We're going to put energy into it. And it won't happen on the time frame unless humans put a time frame into it. So there's a real...
I'm super excited. You're clearly excited. I want to ask you one more question. Yeah. So given that it works with, I wondered, I've got ADHD and I was like, I don't know if this is going to be a good device for me or not, in terms of, because you have to look at something specifically and then tap your finger and thumb together to be able to select it. It feels so intuitive when you do it. But I did also realize on the plane today while I was watching a movie with these on, I was looking at other stuff around me. I was like, you know, I was able to glance down and do something else on my phone while this was on. And I was like, no, will it work for me? Or two, will it work crazy well? Look at this. I'm giving you
Having 10 screens around you may have an attention problem.
Well, not even the 10 screens. Like, as in, it seems like a boomer statement now, but, you know, there was this fight for people's attention. Remember, we was like Instagram and ads, and like everyone was getting ad revenue, and it's all about attention. How long can you retain someone's attention? This device works by explicitly forcing you into a mode where you hyper focus on things. And what do you think that means for our kids in, like, in 10 years time, when our kid phones now, what does it mean in 10 years time? Is it, what does that mean?
It could be a total disaster. Like my couple of other thoughts. I do feel like we're screwed if it's not managed in the right way. I do think it's about screens. It's having Twitter and YouTube and your app and your work and your... That's not focus. That's a disaster waiting to happen. Mm. It's already a disaster with having a buzz on your pocket and a screen to look at on your phone. Multiplying that by 10 is a disaster. They're giving you focus to strap this thing on your eyeballs. Don't look anywhere else. But in this thing, we're going to have 10 times as many screens to look at. So it's kind of, it's a bit of an oxymoron. So I definitely have that feeling, and it has to be managed and it has to be thought through really carefully. And no doubt Apple will start adding all of the in time as the problems arise, in the same way that we have, you know, blue light filters and become less distractible on the phone, and time, you know, amount that you're spending on the phone.
You can only
and so
have
on.
One screen open at a time, or
screens will fade, and like there'll be processes here for, you know, and they don't allow for under 13-year-olds, so very explicitly, you know, not for kids. You can't set it up, so they're already worried about that. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's like a blue light, because it's pulse width modulated as well. So there's going to be some blue light thing. There's going to be some adverse side effects, I think.
Yeah, and EMF even, through. Like all of those electronics right up against your brain all the time. Like, I mean,
There's a great meme which is like, don't sit more than 3 meters, you know, away from the TV back in the 80s or 90s. Yeah. And now it's like the TV's now on your face. You're like, right, so which one was it?
There's some health stuff.
That was some health stuff. I think that was one kind of thought. There's lots of, with every technological shift, there's a lot of unintended consequences that we only sort out later and then fix up. That was one thought I had. And the other thought I had was, like, is capitalism dead? And kind of what I was feeling was, it takes an Apple to do this, and it takes all of Apple's resources to do this, and there's only one company that can practically do this. And then they're going to own this platform, and then the next one that spins off it, and they've already got your phone. Are we done? Are we kind of monopoly at the Uber level, where it's the one company that will rule it all going forward, because everything takes, you know, 10x the amount of investment to make it happen?
I do think it's interesting how much Meta have clearly failed at this. They've been doing this for longer and had attempted to position themselves as this and failed. But it's also not a fair race, because Meta is so badly wounded from the whole Cambridge Analytica thing. Like, how is that even still a company? Honestly, it is on the down and out. Like, it is going. It will be gone. And Meta, you know, I think it is. I don't think it's for this world. I think I'd be surprised if it's here in 10 years. Like, really, really. Like, I mean, so much erosion. I only had to make one video about the glasses.
Is that a prediction? 2024 prediction?
2034, Meta will not be a company anymore. No, I do. I think it's a lame duck, and they try to go after this market, and then you've got a dominant force in the market go after it. But that's not to say that had Microsoft got, I don't think capitalism is dead, because I do think there'll be a race for this. Like, I do think that Microsoft will be able to, I mean, arguably Microsoft has all this technology already in terms of all the acquisitions they've made, and with their, what's their headset called?
HoloLens. Precursor to all of this.
Yeah.
And they had it sitting there. And they had this spatial computing paradigm, and they just shut it down as of 3 days ago, like, ironically, at the same time. They are the masters of bailing too soon. They are the masters of giving up on the thing that's going to be there. And I kind of feel like, you know, that people look at Google in the graveyard. I think Microsoft have a fair share of they were in the right spot just way too early.
Yeah, but then you look at things like AI, like Apple is clearly behind on AI. I mean, this will be the year of Siri.
Are they?
I predicted it last year.
Yeah, go on.
I'm exactly, my prediction for last year was that Apple was going to do, localized AI, and that it was going to be the year of Siri, that they were going to come out with their ChatGPT Siri version. It looks like that's what's coming out now in March. They've got some big announcements about their AI in March. So I was exactly like 15 months off.
No way in hell. What Apple is,
I think,
is
they were behind on LLMs.
I think they're productizing it the way that Apple does. They're waiting on where's everyone sitting, and then here's the key stuff that we have to get right in order for this to be useful. And away they go. And they've got distribution to the wazoo.
I think they were caught off guard. I think they were caught off guard around ChatGPT coming when it came. That's what I think.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Prematurely, yeah. Many would say.
Why wouldn't they have made Siri better sooner? Because it's the perfect. It just goes with everything. Yeah.
Okay. So look, religious experience. Capitalism is dead. No, this is clearly the future.
One more question for you, as the only person on this call who has actually tried it.
Yeah.
Why haven't you bought it? Because my
birthday's coming up.
You're loaded.
My birthday's coming up. I've dropped hints, and I just want to see if it goes into that bucket. If it doesn't, then I'm on the agenda.
Because Caro does often text me before your birthday saying, what does Rami want? Yeah. I'm going to tell him you want these Vitcher glasses, which are $400. He's really keen. As you know, Caro, he's keen on spatial computing. And,
huge.
And you're
huge.
Welcome.
Just entertainment. Honestly, my issue was, once I used it, the second I walked out, I was like, this is clearly the future. Yeah. I feel like I got it out of my system. I don't need it now, because it wasn't clear to me what I would do with it. What I mean by that is...
what would you do with it?
I don't consume. I don't have a second screen. I don't sit on YouTube. I don't edit. I don't do much surfing on the web. I certainly don't sit and watch movies by myself or anything.
Yeah.
So I'm not a consumer in the way that requires screens, is my current setup.
Yeah.
But there's a very quick world where there's enough content, and you're seeing sports, and you're seeing these use cases, and it's fundamentally new content and a new medium.
Right, where you've got the race on the screen above you, and you got the map below you, and you got, I mean, it's just immersive, isn't it? Yeah.
It's the actual NBA app that's already available that allows you to pin which up to 7 or 8 games in parallel. It's basically the Red Zone NFL, but done custom for NBA. Like, you want attention deficit. It is just going to be a cluster a cluster for anyone trying to focus and get our attention spans back up. So I didn't know what to do. But then the further I walked away from that demo and like the further I receded, and it became like more of a religious feeling. Like I felt like something big had happened. It was a monumental shift that was there. Anyway, your turn. I want to know.
Well, we should have started the other way around. Now tell me about the electric truck you drove. I mean, come on. You just said you had a religious experience, and I'm going to tell you about a little that I got in a car. Cheers, lads.
Do you still have your finger, though? Do you still have your finger from
still
the front? That's what I want to...
So we had a mate of ours reach out, a lad that we did the MBA with. Me and Rami exchanged, as did Caro, Rami's wife. We all met in Haas.
We try not to name names here, Marcus.
We talk about Caro, don't we?
We do. We do.
You refer to your housemate, but she'll be Caro to me. I met her the same day you did, so she'll always be Caro to me.
Me too. So,
you can call her Carol. Her well enough now.
Yeah.
A friend of ours reached out and said he's going to have a Cybertruck for the day. He's on the list. The story with Francis is he's buying a Cybertruck, but he was late to the game in terms of he was like a month late, and now he's not going to get his till like the end of 2024, and he's like super giddy about it. He wants to get in. And he's building an ADU, and he's on this ADU forum, and this ADU buddy of his has a Cybertruck. So he's like, you know, so he...
The ADU forum, you had me at ADU
forum.
That's
where it happens. ADUs are what's that stand for? It's like dwellings, the additional dwelling unit.
Additional dwelling unit.
When you build a little granny house flats. In the back. Anyway, there's a Facebook granny flat forum that they're friends on. And he reached out to this guy. So he pinged me and said, I saw that you're interested in Cybertruck. Do you want to give it a spin? And I was like, 100%. Never mind the fact I haven't seen Francis in 8 years. So I was like, and also I would like to see you, you know, like as in, like, let's hang out. So he called to the house. We caught up real quick. And then we went for a burn in the Cybertruck. And it is, first of all, I've got really mixed feelings on this, but I think I'll shock you in terms of, it's not for me, Remy. I don't. The punchline is, I don't like it.
What?
In
fairness, you set me up a little while ago where you said this is not for me based on the specs. But now I want to know whether it's the Tesla experience that's not for you. Like, because I imagine
it's
you put your foot
wonderful.
Down and it's...
wonderful. He pulls along. He comes up the driveway. I'm out in the street. He says he's coming. I come out in the street to record him coming to... I'm going to create a YouTube video on the drive. So I brought some camera gear. So he's coming up my street and I record him. And as soon as I see it, it's distinctly, it looks pixelated. It's the weirdest reality distortion thing, seeing it drive up the street. I've got a Ford. It's raised 3.5 inches or 4 inches. I've got a big truck outside my house and this thing comes along and it is Mad Max. It's exactly what you think it is, but there's a weird thing that the light does that makes it look like it's sci-fi, like as in it's,
shimmering but, through,
yeah,
like a stealth.
It's just, yeah, stealth bomber, but also that it's rendered. Like it looks like someone's done a good job. That it's like it looks almost real. You know, they've done a really good job in rendering that it's almost real. Like there's a weird weightlessness to it, or something, or like just the way the light catches
the light
it,
reflects.
Like, you're like, oh. It doesn't quite, you know, it's obviously not real, but it looks kind of real. Anyway, so he pulls into my driveway. We do the family kids things and all that, and we get out. And I get into the passenger seat, and we go for a spin up Grizzly Peak. On the way there, we go through Berkeley. We stop at intersections. Everywhere we go, if people are walking in the intersection in front of us, they stop, phones out, photo. Cars beside us have windows down with their phones out. As we drive through intersections, people are waving at us like we're celebrities. Thumbs up. Universally, like as in if we were coming to pull out into a lane of traffic, cars that would be whipping by would just stop. Just like that's, you can't just, and we would go out and pull out in front of them. We had a group of motorcyclists as we were going up Grizzly Peak ahead of us, and I saw a guy see us in the rearview mirror, and they just pulled over to the side. And then we went past them and they pulled in behind us to ride by, like they were following.
Just
like, you know,
to trail your wings. I love it.
It was the closest to being a celebrity. Like, isn't it? Like, it must be like, that must be what it's like to have. I feel like with a Lamborghini or something, though, people immediately hate you. Or like, there's a, like, that guy's just a rich guy. I'm not going to give him the satisfaction. This, is almost that, but people are still like, wow. They're just like, wow, what is that? That's amazing. Like, the people who knew it was a Cybertruck were like, that's amazing. And then there was like the other 50% of people are like, what the hell is that thing? You know,
because
it's drastically different from anything else you see on the road.
What proportion do you think knows about it, like in Berkeley, in the area?
I don't think half. Even though we're in the Bay Area, maybe half. You know, even the people who knew, a lot of people came up. Like, so we pulled into a lay-by, and I wanted to get some shots of him driving away and coming back. It was really hard to do because every time he'd drop me off and he'd come, and then cars would just stop around us, you know. People got out of their cars wherever they were. So like at my house before we even left, we were getting in the car and we were about to pull away, and I just wanted to get a quick photo. And suddenly, not exaggerating, there was 15 people in the street. It was neighbors. It was people walking by. Cars in both directions stopped and got out, and everyone wanted like, can I get a photo? Can I sit in the seat? Can I get the, and you know, people just doing the selfies, you know, in front of it. Like, and it was just really surreal. And anyway, so we got in the truck, we went for a spin. We purposely went up these really windy roads. On the way there, we went on the, you know, on the highway, and we stayed entirely within the speed limits. And it was wonderful to do that. We did do the like from zero to 60. I recorded that, but it's the Tesla experience, but it's in a truck. Like, so right. There's a weird thing where it feels familiar because you kind of go, whoa, but then you realize you're in a giant truck and it's doing that as well. So there's a weirdness about how, because, you know, I drive a truck and that's not how trucks feel. And you're coming into corners and it's hugging corners, and like he's coming in a little bit quick on these, like I'm a little uncomfortable because we're on these twisties and there's a bit of a, you know, that one, and you do it and it just hugs the road around, and you're like, well, that's, you know, trucks are like top heavy, like they kind of, you kind of sway through turns, but this doesn't do that for some reason because the low center of gravity of the battery pack, the way the wheels turn. So anyway, we pull in, I get to drive it, and they've got something they call, the steering wheel's called, it's a squircle. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, it's not a yoke. It's not a circle.
It's a square circle. So you're holding the squircle steering wheel, and I start super slow because I know that there's like this unending power underneath. Start super slow, but very quickly you're nippy. And it's very responsive in terms of slowdown. If you take your foot off, there's a lot of regenerative charging. And then if you put your, and you end up tipping it more. It's not like driving a real, like a truck. It's more like driving a go-kart. In the way that you kind of go boom, 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 like that with your foot, you know? So totally different experience. I mean, it's cool in terms of technology inside. You've got all your, you know this, the standard Tesla stuff. How you go forward or backwards is not a gear. You just like flick the screen up or flick the screen down and all of that stuff. In terms of like fit and finish, I wanted to really check how do all the panels go together. There's a bunch of gaps. The doors... You'll decapitate a kid. Like, we talked about fingers in bonnets. And if one of my kids were to run into the side of that door, it is literally just a sheet of steel. Like, it is not at all. It's the least child-friendly vehicle you could get. Like, it is, there's sharp things everywhere. My last thing, so everything's positive there. The only bad thing is, and you called it before, is, oh my God, does it look appalling from behind. What were they thinking? It looks like a box. Not even a box. It looks terrible. Old. It looks, my reaction to that was, it looked old and like not finished. Like, as in someone was like, we'll do that bit, like, not sure. Just make it flat for now.
Just ran out of time and had to round off the back end. It's just horrendous from behind.
Awful. Yep. Also, last thing, just for functionality, the bed of the truck is useless. Like, you can tell when you're standing next to it with all the curved sides, you can't get anything in and out of it. Like, I wouldn't be able to bring it to Home Depot. Like, I can't throw things over the side. I can't. It's just like, it looks beautiful.
Why? Like, you can't close the cover, or you...
Right. It's too high. Like, you can only come to the very back of the truck, and then the thing. Right. And you could put sheets of ply in, but like in terms of most of the time, you're actually not doing that. You're putting things in through the side. If you're lifting the cylinder in, or if you're lifting toolboxes or lunch boxes or whatever, and you can because it's high and it's at an angle
you can't get to the depth of the bed. You have to go everything from the front.
Yeah,
it's like front loading.
So you have to go. Everything has to go from the back of it, and it has to go straight into it.
It does seem like that's a secondary part of it. Like that,
it's not for functionality is construction workers. It's not for it shouldn't be used for construction. It is intended for holiday campers and put the tent on the back. Yeah. But the reason, the main reason I don't like it, and this is from somebody who wants to buy an old Porsche 911 at some point, is I really didn't like the ostentatious, like I didn't like the vibe. I didn't like the attention and I didn't like, like I felt like a douche, honestly, driving around in it. It definitely feels like just a rich kid. I guess like I guess when we were growing up was like a Jeep Cherokee or whatever. You know the kids who had those like expensive Jeep, like I could see someone in a puffy jet, like it's tech bros driving them, you know? And it's just like, I felt uncomfortable. I was like, oh, this isn't my vibe. This is not me, you know?
Is that because people were stopping you so much or because you have a connotation with it? Like
heads and people want a photo with it. And right. then they and inevitably look at you to see like who's the type of person driving it and like right. who wants that, like, you know,
it's like getting judged. Like,
yeah, and there's a buzz to it initially. Like I feel like it was like, whoa, and I was waving at people, like people were waving at me and I was waving at them, but like who wants that to be their vehicle? That people, you know, I don't know. Maybe you do. But
yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm with you. You know? Kind of Lamborghini douche adjacent is the issue.
Yeah,
it's just it's the other type of. It's not that person. It's a different end of it, but it's a truck for a start.
I guess right now it's hard to get this truck. This truck also was the Foundation Edition, which is like I don't know how many of them are there. 10. You know, I didn't even know there was a Foundation Edition, but so there is. Apparently, it's just different. It's got some graphics on the side. It's got slightly different like dash on it and stuff. So it was like one of the really hard ones to get. Maybe I don't know if people knew that. I didn't know that. I doubt people knew that. But it was definitely everywhere we went, people wanted to get a photo with it for their Instagram. And I was, I don't know, that was the first time I ever, it wasn't like it is when you're in a really, I don't know, it just didn't feel good. It felt like ostentation. It felt like an overt show of wealth. That's what it felt like. Yeah.
Yeah. Well that's, I think that's the funny thing is that it's not excessively expensive. It's not the most expensive SUV or truck or
it's hard to get right now.
Like they're way more expensive, subtle car. I think access exclusivity is a thing. So the question is, does that wear off over time? Both the attention and your sense of it being ostentatious, does that change over time as more people have it?
Like it made me just be like, the Rivian is beautiful. Like, what a beautiful truck, functional truck, none of the nonsense. There's a bunch of things wrong with the Rivian too, but like this thing, I don't know. It just felt like I'm overlaying some of the Elon.
Yeah.
Like, grossness about
that's
it.
What well. Trying to, like, that's what I'm trying to fisk out. That's kind of what I'm trying to peel out. How much of it's your own connotation with the Elon and Tesla versus you think other people have the same feeling of Elon and therefore they're applying that versus just attention.
I might be overlaying that, but it's also the fact that it's such a ridiculous design. Like it is like, and I'm, as you know, I'm the person who's like, go out there, design something different, be bold and show us something cool.
Yeah.
But like, it's almost done in a way that's like, I don't know. I see it as almost like an FU to the industry as well, which it is, but it's like, you know, it's intentionally that, but also in doing that, it makes, you're one of those people who's driving that thing. And I'm just not ready to be one of those people driving that thing.
You're not personally ready to say FU to the industry. You want to be part of it. You still want petrol stuff. Yeah. Maybe it's so loaded. It becomes hard to kind of embrace it. It is. And you have like strong identity with vehicles, right? I think there's a,
I'm a petrol head.
Like a depth to it.
You know, no, for sure. Like it's a thing, and I'm not even sure that I'm ready to go electric yet. Like the person who wants to save the planet wants to go electric, but I love, you know, that's my next one. I've kind of rationalized my next one's probably not going to be electric. Maybe the family car will be, but my next one won't be.
It's a disappointment. It's a disappointment. Right. March 7th, the Rivian R2 is going to be unveiled down there in SoCal.
Really? Nice.
Can't wait. It's meant to be a smaller, more affordable SUV. And that is an exciting time. And to be clear, the R1 is amazing, but if there's an affordability factor,
it's going to be
half
a new
price or whatever.
A new chassis, is that what it is? And they're going to do both the truck and the SUV?
Don't know.
Or is it an SUV?
At a minimum, they're calling it the R2, and like the SUV is the thing that's touted, so it's a smaller family car, effectively.
Yeah.
I can't see the value of a smaller truck. I think the small SUV makes sense because it's a shorter wheelbase, more affordable predominantly, right? So instead of it being 100,
it's already a pretty small
touted
truck.
To be 50, right?
Yeah.
It's a relatively small, relatively small truck. It's a massive SUV though, from an SUV like a 7-seater. Yeah. It's a huge with the storage that's an exciting one to look out for. But also, everyone's the electric Taycan dropped, the electric Macan dropped. The what am I thinking of? The electric Yeah, the electric Porsche SUV dropped.
Yeah, that, which looks that like came a, out the, yeah. The my, what do they call the it? Like, not the Taycan. The can, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not interested in any of that, but the Taycan no. is the kind
the sports
of
one. Gorgeous.
911-y looking one. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But didn't do well. Not a great EV, like not a great car, not a great.
No. The new one is they just dropped the next year model and it's like all the specs are up. The range is up, the speed is up,
I don't want that. Charging. If you're going to buy a Porsche, are you really going to buy an electric Porsche if you're going to buy a Porsche?
There's a lot of them around here, let me tell you. There's a lot of them around here.
A boxer engine. Like, the whole point is the boxer engine. Like, that is literally the point of the Porsche. Maybe. I mean, it is. I mean, that's the...
I don't think people want to buy a Porsche in that case. I think what they want is an electric car that's not Tesla. And this is a very sporty electric car that's not Tesla. Like, it's solid.
I mean, if you want, a sports car that is not Tesla, that's electric, it's a good shape.
There's a lot of them floating here, and it's kind of... You're starting to get the vibe that it's doing well. So the fact they're investing in it and upgrading the next model is real.
Yeah.
Okay, too ostentatious, but the drive was good. Slightly dangerous. I never thought about just how dangerous it is until that Frunk video, and then you reinforcing that the edge of the door if a kid runs into it.
If a kid just even runs into it, you're done. You're done. Like, the stitches straight away. No deal.
That freaks me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was cool. Right, it was so cool. I'm so glad I got to do it. And like you, I feel like I scratched an itch. Like, I really wanted to drive that one. Like, I did that, like, when Dad was here, I drove a bunch of different EVs. But I was like, because I'm a truck owner, you know what it did actually, which is weird? I don't know how long this will last, but it gave, my own truck is nearly 10 years old. And I was like, keep this for a while. That's how I felt after it. I was like, this is good enough. This is what I want for now. You know, 5-liter V8.
I love that.
Yeah. We're not doing that yet. Yeah. Anyway, weekend. We're going to have to do something epic. I had the same feeling
with my phone after the Vision Pro. I was like, I should keep this phone. I should definitely not get the Vision Pro. I think this phone is going to last
the Vision
at least
Pro's
another
on the
9 months
for me. Just so you know, we've got another 10 days before I can buy. I'm definitely buying the Vision Pro. There's no doubt.
You're
like,
definitely buying it.
There's no world in which I don't buy it. There's no world in which I don't buy it.
Wow. That is such a turnaround. I love this. It is
I have to.
Such a turn.
But, you know, I mean, I'm trying that. The whole point of the fridge is a cooling off period, right? And I'm four days in. And the fridge has worked so far. There was a lens I was going to buy for my camera. And when it got to 14 days, I crossed it off the list. There was a fish tank. One of our fish has eaten all the other fish, and we have to keep telling the kids, "Oh no, they're just behind the weeds." And one of the fish is massive now, and all the little ones are all So the fish are a necessity because they're Hazel's birthday, or they're one of my kids' birthday present, and several one of them died within. We bought her one fish. We bought each of them a fish. We bought a fish each. And it was her birthday, and it died 2 days later. And it was like, we had to bury it in the garden. There was lots of crying. So we bought a bunch of these little fish, and then one big, a kind of a fighting fish. And obviously the fighting fish is eating all of the little fish gradually. Like, if it gets a little bit hungry, you'll go in there and it's like a half a fish left. You're like, for God's sake. So we're down to like three. We had like, I want to say 6 or 8 of the little ones. We're down to 3 of them now. So anyway, they're on the fridge, but that has to happen. We did it initially. It was like, this is a good lesson for her that, you know, life and death. But all she's getting is death now. There's not so much life. So like, we have to play in a little bit of that happiness, not just all the sour. Yeah. Anyway, so this fridge thing is working, though. It's working. There's like six things on the fridge. This is on there 4 days in. There's no way in the world I will not get this thing.
Why is that? What will you do with it? I mean, you do everything. You do editing. You've got many screens. Your screens are going to go. You're highly productive.
I think I'll be able to make the money back on it with my YouTube channel just doing reviews. I think that's one thing. I think there's a bunch of stuff I'll use it for and I'll get a lot of joy out of. So I think traveling, I think setting up, like monitor setup, I think video editing, like all the hobby stuff I do is with a screen.
Yeah.
So I think I'll get a lot of use out of it. But I don't need it. I'm not trying to justify it in terms of I need it, just to be clear. But I think I'll be able to, it's after taxes, it's about $4,500. And I think if I get 2 or 3 videos out of it this year, like, then it'll probably wash its face. I should have done it. I should have ordered it I have an advantage. I'm in California over a lot of the tech YouTubers or anybody else. Like, I should have ordered it the day it came out and been one of the first to review it, and it would have paid for itself immediately. And it's like a no-brainer.
Within the first weekend.
Or,
and if it didn't, you could
return it because it's 14 days return policy. So I missed that window, and I think so now it just makes it a bit harder because I was being frugal, but I badly want it. You know, I think it is game. I want to have done it. You know, I want to be like, I was in on the ground floor. I bought the iPhone in 2. I want that, you know?
Yeah. I think that's right. There's a movement. It's on. You might as well be part of it. I think that's exactly right. And you're going to see like a avalanche of devs and applications and unique applications coming through that never approached Quest, that never even went there.
Yeah.
And they're all going to be on this platform. And it's, I think they're going to be immediately accessible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, lad. Been emotional. You're going to edit this one and stick it up live straight away? I don't think we did anything wrong with this. We can just load it. Load it up.
Ship it.